Hey there, Pod Pals. Are you a print-on-demand creator looking to stay ahead of the curve? You want to know exactly when to launch your designs for every key season and event? How about a chuckle with an extra dad joke to brighten your day? If you said yes to any of these, then it's time to join the Print On Demand Cast VIP list. As a VIP, you'll get our free annual design calendar, an amazing guide to help you time your creations perfectly throughout the year. And of course, we'll include a bonus dad joke each week as well. Signing up couldn't be easier. Just visit printondemandcast.com/VIP and enter your email. Don't let another day of potential pass you by. Become a part of the VIP list, grab your annual design calendar, and let's dive into a year of inspired creating together. We'll see you on the other side.
Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast. On today's episode, we're going to answer the question, should you hire a virtual assistant? Let's get into it.
Radical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Print On Demand Cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print on demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's totally tubular show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Pod Pals, hope you all are doing well. Another episode coming at you right now of the Print On Demand Cast. And joining me, as always, Travis Ross from Make Your Mark Design. Travis, it's good to see you. And I'm not even going to ask how your weekend was, because I already know how your weekend was, much to the chagrin of myself and probably a lot of people listening. The Chiefs miraculously pulled out a victory because the Niners forgot how to play football. Just kidding. But congratulations to the Chiefs on the win. I'm sure your house was a festive affair only on the last drive, because it was close. It was a close game the whole time.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was a great game. I mean, like, very entertaining, at least, I guess, in the second half. The first half was kind of which team could overcome their mistakes the best.
Right.
Neither one did a great job. But yeah, man, it was super tense in that, obviously, in the fourth quarter, having to get that field goal in less than 2 minutes. But we tied it up. We were excited. And then, my whole family was, sitting on the couch and watching that last drive in overtime to win the game. And oh my gosh, we just were very, very excited. To repeat as Super Bowl champions is awesome. I mean, to get a Super Bowl is awesome. To repeat is incredible. And, I really feel like four Super Bowls in 5 years, winning three of them. I think the Chiefs are a dynasty. And I know, I know a lot of people are already on the, we are sick of the Chiefs. We want to see anybody but the Chiefs. But, we did it for 20 years with the Patriots. So let's just do it another 20 years with the Chiefs. I'm totally fine.
Oh man, that sounds miserable to me.
Doesn't it though, for everyone else except the Chiefs fans?
It's like when the Warriors and the Lakers were in the NBA finals for like 5 years in a row. It's like, why would I even watch this anymore? Except
well,
for their
if you were
fan
a Lakers
base.
Fan. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Or yeah, so or if have... you lived in California. But yeah, I am a part of the anybody but the Chiefs contingent, because there's lots of teams who need their moment. Now, granted, the Chiefs went forever sucking absolute eggs as a team. So for the fan base, I can understand why it's like, it's about time. You know what I mean? Like, is this there for the lifelong Chief fans, not the ones that have come aboard in the last couple of years, but for those that watch during the dry spell, this is like a really overdue season of like, we just kick ass until Patrick Mahomes is either done, traded, or injured, which the middle one will not happen anytime soon. I would be absolutely shocked if they got rid of Patrick Mahomes. So yeah, we have a video here. This is Travis's household on the last drive when they scored that touchdown.
Yeah! Let's go! Yeah!
Chiefs cheat. Whoever's in that shirt is my hero.
Yeah. He came over. That's hilarious. That's come over and he had a shirt on over it and then he took it off. And I was like, all right, you can watch the game from the window outside. You can take a chair out there and watch outside. I don't think he realized how intense we were. It was fun rubbing it in his face because he tried to rub it in ours and it backfired on him. So he's a good kid, but I was like, man, you are living dangerously, pal, coming into this house with that shirt on. The funny thing was he had another shirt on underneath it, another white shirt that he said 49ers W that he was going to take off if they won.
I was like, man,
you would have got shanked. You know, we would have you would have gone home with holes in you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It was fun.
That's so funny. So yeah, we'll see what happens next year. I saw a Broncos fan page post like next year starts now, and I just think that's adorable. Because even though I'm from Colorado, the Broncos are not even my number two AFC team, like at all. And for Raiders fans, that had to be really hard to watch. First, okay, we'll move on after this. But John Elway walking the Lombardi Trophy to the platform to hand, I'm like, who is all the Broncos fans that I was watching with were like, what a turncoat, he's dead to us. And I'm like, this is incredible what is happening here. I'm so shocked. But even for Raiders fans too, it's probably hard to see the Chiefs win in Las Vegas Stadium. So
we lovingly refer to Allegiant Stadium as Arrowhead West in the Chiefs Kingdom. We have not lost there yet.
That's awesome. That's phenomenal. So, all right, well, we'll move on here from the Chiefs celebration and hope that we don't have to revisit that in a year. But we'll go straight into everyone's favorite weekly segment, the weekly dad joke.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right, Travis, what is this week's weekly dad joke?
So, you know, obviously I had a blast at the Super Bowl. My son actually finally brought his girlfriend over. We hadn't met her yet. And so we were talking and she's, you know, nice girl, but she wouldn't say what her job was. She just kept saying she spent a whole bunch of time with bees, with honeybees. And I'm like, okay. But the more I got to know her, I finally whispered to my son, she's a keeper.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. So that's this week's weekly dad joke. You are all free to use that in your local banters around your water coolers. So we do have a point of interest for this show. It's going to be a quick point of interest, but before that, we are going to throw to a word from our sponsors.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day. Every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print-on-Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.
All right, it's always funny throwing to our sponsors who are, well, us. But So, all right, we're going to hit the point of interest. We have a quick update for you guys, and then we are going to talk about should you hire a virtual assistant. So before we get there, Travis, I know a couple of weeks ago we chatted about eBay. We've talked about eBay off and on here and there, but you have an eBay update in regards to selling print on demand on that platform. So what's the haps? What's going on? What's new on eBay?
So if you remember back before Q4, I signed up for a store that would allow me to have 10,000 listings for free. Basically, I pay a monthly fee and I get 10,000 slots. And what happened was eBay gave me listing limits that superseded that 10,000. So I was only able to list like 1,600, and then it doubled to like 3,200. Then it was like 6,400. So every 30 days I could move it up. During Q4, I could only list 1,800, even though I was paying for 10,000. And I, definitely reached out to him, talked to him on the phone, you know, was like, this is not fair. I'm paying for something and you're only giving me a small portion of it, you know, give me a refund. And they're like, oh no, sorry. You just, yeah, it's just the way it is. And you, you know, if you want to be on our platform, you have to play by our rules and our rules are unfair. So we just dealt with that. Eventually, you know, 30 days you can apply or you can say, hey, can you up my limits? And if you're have good sales or any sales really, and you have good feedback and you're above standard sellers, kind of, I think the mark, they usually double it every 30 days. And so finally this last, like towards the end of January, we were able to get above our 10,000 listings.
Nice.
So they have a listing number and then they have a say like a potential sales number. And our potential sales number is like several hundred thousand that we could do in a month before they would pump the brakes on us. So, and what that does is they basically look at all your items, how much they're priced for. And if that you can't list over that dollar amount or that number of listings that they give you. So we're like 12,000 listings and like 160,000 or something. I don't know what it is. Cause we're, you know, it's not a thing, but the 10,000 was, and so we finally decided we're going to list a bunch of products and, or, you know, fill out those slots. So currently as of today, we only have 8,882 listings. And I think that's primarily because my VA just filled up with what she had and she hasn't, she hasn't really messed with it a whole lot. Cause I have her on a different project that, is, this one's more like, hey, just get them up there and be done. And so she just listed, just did a pushed them one time. Sure. I've seen I don't know that I'm selling anymore, but also, you know, we're kind of in that interim time that, you know, nobody really knows. And we did, when she first uploaded them, she had messed up a pricing thing and was charging too much. And so I hope she's fixed that now, just the last day or two. And then I went on yesterday, and this is kind of cool. I didn't know this, but on the marketing tab of your seller hub, eBay has a advertising dashboard and you can create what they call promoted listings standard. And the cool thing about the promoted listing standard is that you don't pay unless there's a sale. So you can get clicks.
Interesting.
And if there's a sale, you pay. But I have right now, I literally set this up yesterday. And I have 35,000 ad impressions and I have 36 clicks, but zero sold. So I have paid $0 in the last day to have this. And so you basically set up your percentage of what you are willing to pay if someone buys. And I just set mine up at 10%.
Sure.
And so, you know, if somebody buys, I'll pay the eBay fees plus an extra 10% for the ad fees. And I still have a heck of a margin on these 11-ounce mugs that we're listing. So just kind of a cool little update, not too much to it. Just wanted to give you, because I know I said back then, I said, hey, I'll let you guys know what goes on with it.
Sure.
You know, every month it has been profitable, just so you know, I'm paying $59.99 a month. And I have, after my fees for the product, at, you know, cost of goods and the eBay fees and all of that stuff. I've been profitable every month. It hasn't been huge, but again, I haven't had the opportunity to have 10,000 listings yet during, you know, a holiday, you know, during Mother's Day, Father's Day or Christmas or whatever. So I think, you know, just my, you know, initial thoughts on it is that it actually is going to be profitable and we're going to keep doing it. That's the update. eBay update.
All right. Well, there you have it. And I'm sure, I feel like we needed like a breaking news, like, you know, and that's the update. Maybe next time for the next update, because I'm sure there will be one as we get closer to different holidays and stuff that's going to be coming up in the next year, of course, so we can do another check-in. So let's go to the main event this week. Again, should you hire a VA? We're going to talk about that, hopefully answer that question right now with this week's main event.
Main event, main event, main event. Main event, main event, main event. Main event, main event, main event.
All right. So Virtual assistants, VAs, is probably how you've probably heard them commonly referred to as, if you've been in the print on demand space, or, you know, just really the entrepreneurial space. A lot of talk about VAs, and yeah. I feel like there's always a lot of like acronyms for things: VAs, POD, DTG, DTF. Like, what are all these things mean, and why are we saying them so frequently? So we're going to talk about virtual assistants because they can be very crucial to your print on demand success. So there's a few things you need to decide and figure out, as well as some pitfalls to avoid. So we're going to get down into the nitty-gritty.
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty
and talk about specifics. So Travis, there's some things to figure out before hiring. One, what exactly are you wanting to hire the VA for? What do you want them to do?
Right. Yeah. So there's several questions that you need to figure out. And yeah, obviously the most basic one is like, what do you want them to do? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, are you wanting an admin VA, a creative VA? You know, there's even like VAs that can like do full on development for an app or something like that. But you know, you really want to understand what you want them to do. And it's not just like what you want them to do, but like, what do you want them to do specifically, you know? And that's going to help you it's the second one is really going to help you inform that, because you're going to want to know, what are you going to be doing more of as a result of hiring this virtual assistant? You know, because the last thing you want to do is just hire somebody, and then you're just twiddling your thumbs, you know, when you're working on your business. That doesn't make any sense. The whole reason that you're hiring them is so that you can set your time free to be able to work on other pieces. And so you really need to have that made, you know, like that decision needs to be made before it's like, okay, when I hire that person, now I'm going to work on this. Right. And this is going to be like, I'm going to spend more time on that, you know?
Yeah, we talk about a lot, you know, working in your business, working on your business, and VAs help you make that leap in some of those areas where you can start working on instead of in. That's one of the questions, of course. You know, what will you be doing more of, like we talked about, as a result of hiring? And do you need full-time or do you need part-time? Right. Like figuring out, again, you don't want to be paying them full-time and then their job scope isn't a full-time job, you know, responsibility. So they're only working part-time. And so you got to figure that out. And do you have the money to pay them? Like, is it in the budget to work with this? And there's different answers to that, depending on where you're getting the VA, right? Like there's different platforms and different, even VAs out of the country, you're going to be spending different amount on that VA than someone that is stateside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, VA doesn't have to be, you know, a foreign country. It can literally be somebody, you know, somebody, anybody that's not at your physical location is technically a virtual assistant, or can be a virtual assistant. You can also hire them as employees if they're in the United States too. But, but yeah, so it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody, you know, in the Philippines or in, you know, Indonesia or Asia or India or wherever. It can literally be in Milwaukee, you know.
Right.
Now you're going to pay more for the US based virtual assistant, most likely, because the cost of living in the US is higher. So but yeah, let's get into like kind of some of the, like you say, the nitty gritty. So once you have these kind of things figured out, and we're going to, these are kind of like how you can figure them out too. We're going to talk about what do you do? What's the next step once you've decided that it's time for you to hire a VA?
So the first step, of course, is just creating a basic job description. And this is all about communicating your expectations with what you're going to want them to do. And that will, of course, attract the right candidates. If you have more detail, the more you can communicate your expectations, the more that the applicant knows exactly A, what they're going to be doing, and B, if they feel like they have the experience needed to execute those tasks. So there's a couple things you could be looking for. You could be looking for an admin VA, like Travis is talking about, where maybe they're going to be creating listings in Amazon or in Etsy or on, you know, Shopify, Are they going to be creating your mock-ups on the designs that you're selling? So bookkeeping also, if you don't want to have, I mean, obviously I'm not a math guy, so bookkeeping, it sounds real appealing to hire a VA to take care of that. You know, writing, scheduling, all of the kind of administrative tasks are kind of like the logistic back end tasks. That's a type of VA that's out there, as well. And then Travis, of course, we have a lot of experience with too, is creative VAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You, need somebody to create designs for you. You know, there's a ton of people that can do really amazing work if you're not a designer, you know, even, and this is not just like design for POD. It could be, you could get somebody to help you with your WordPress site or, you know, or your Shopify site, that, you know, experts in these fields that are like really creative, that they can like actually go in and help you build things, web design, things like that. There's a whole lot of, there's a whole lot of ways to utilize a virtual assistant's creativity. You know, you have VAs and they can, you can ask them if they're doing graphics for you. You know, you can, some of them will do like full on illustrations, and it's not just, you know, it's not just enhancing, you know, something you found in Merchantformer and make, hey, make this better. I mean, you can do that and totally fine. And there may be some illustrative things in there. You know, there's that you may have come up with some AI designs that are, really, really awesome, except that the text is wrong or something. And so you, you know, you can pass that on to your virtual assistant who's a creative virtual assistant, and they can potentially fix that for you and create some baller designs for your, you know, but there's so many ways you can utilize these VAs, you know, but there's a couple of things that you want to make sure that you're thinking about when you're hiring any type of VA, but specifically a creative VA, because creatives can, you know, they can forget deadlines, for example. You know, they can conveniently not be around when you need them to be, you know, and hopefully that's not your experience with virtual assistants, but you need to have deadlines. You need to have specific deadlines. And this all goes back to like a really good, you know, a really good job description. You know, you're putting this in there so they understand the expectations. You know, how many designs are they going to be giving you in a week or in a month? You need to have an idea of what that number is, so you can understand if you're getting your money's worth, you know? And then another thing that people don't think about, that it might be a good idea to have something in writing that gives you ownership of all of the designs that this particular virtual assistant creates. Yeah. Don't just take their word for it, you know, actually have them sign something and send it back to you. So you have at least something, you know, on your hard drive that gives you ownership of those design files.
Yeah. I think that's important in terms of when you're detailing not your expectations, doing it in the job posting, obviously, but even post hire, having that stuff on paper. I think for someone like me, I'm a very relational person, and so I can tend to really just kind of lean into the relational equity side of things and not want to really, you know, be, you know, official in that capacity, making them sign stuff, because that's just my nature. But you learn very quickly that you need to document, you need to have a paper trail, you need to have an agreement, expectations lined up, it's signed, to avoid future confrontation. So it's better just to rip the bandaid off and address potential things that could happen, as opposed to having to address them after they do happen and you have no paper trail or nothing really backing you up as to the decision that you made and why what they did was incorrect. So make sure that you're doing that. Another thing to think about is, you know, how are you paying them? Is it per design? Is it per hour? What does that look like? If it's per hour, how are you tracking those hours? Are you taking their word for it? Are they entering it into a spreadsheet? Or are you using something like, I know they've got like Hubstaff where they have to clock in, clock out.
That's what we
use. Can actually track that hour, those hours, and they will take screenshots of what's happening as well. There's also one called Screenshot Monitor that you can download. Does the same thing. It just takes intermittent screenshots and it will let you know when there's inactivity. And so you can kind of have some accountability, which I think is definitely more, would be my suggestion. I've done it both ways to where you just take their word for it and they enter it on the spreadsheet and then you're looking at it thinking, how did they spend 9 hours on or 10 hours on that design? Or, you know what I mean? So you don't, you would rather just have some concrete, data to go off of when it comes to how you're paying them. So
yeah,
the next thing would be totally. You need to make sure you have an SOP or a standing operating procedure for their position, because
right,
this is going to make it easy to replicate down the line as well. If you have to hire someone else, if that VA doesn't work out, mm-hmm. SOPs are just a huge, huge piece that makes this whole process that much easier.
Yeah. Don't think that this is the same thing as a job description. This is totally right. different. This is like right. the step-by-step, you know, McDonald's is the example we always use, you know, mm-hmm. how do you make fries? Well, you pour the bag into yeah. the fry, you know, the basket, then you dip the basket, you push the button, you wait for it to beep, you take the fries out, you shake them 5 times or 6 times or however many, hang them up. Start, you know, pour them out. It's literally every single step. And so a lot of people get overwhelmed by this because a lot of the things that we're doing are online. And so there's clicks involved and like, where do I go? And, you know, and it's like, oh, this is so hard to, you know, communicate this in a document. And so you can use like a, the cool thing is that you can use a screencasting software, and most of the screencasting softwares have both the ability to do video and to just take a quick shot. So you can type things out and then take a shot, put an arrow to it, insert it into your document, go to the next step, you know, take a shot, insert it into a document. Or you can just literally screencast yourself doing the whole thing and explaining it as you go. You don't have to put your face in it. You know, just literally your screen and your voice explaining how, you know, what needs to be done for this particular task. And you could have multiple ones of these, you know, the thing is, and then beyond that for SOPs, you want to have some ability to track this stuff, you know, even if it's, you know, it's how many listings you create. What, you know, I always talk about like my listing design spreadsheet and or my listing spreadsheets and all of these different things. Well, those are important because that goes back to kind of the pay thing and like time, you know, are they actually working? Well, you can see, well, they did however many designs today on Etsy, and here's all the information that they did. Here's the mockups they made. Here's the links. All of that stuff is, you know, documented. You need to make sure that, you know, if you're doing that, same thing with like designs. If you need some sort of system to track how it gets from an idea and like, okay, here's the idea. And then they come and they say, I'm going to work on this one. And then when they're done, they post the link or, you know, or something to that finished project. And you can see actual progress with your virtual assistant. That's super important, but it starts with the SOP, but your SOP is going to inform them to come to this Excel spreadsheet, enter in whatever it is, and then do the work, come back to the spreadsheet. You know, it has to include all of it, not just, hey, go make a design about, you know, nurses and let me know when it's done and I'll pay you, you know, $5 or $10 or whatever for the design. That's not going to last very long.
And I think too, another thing that you can use, a tool that I've kind of discovered, is called Scribe. And so this is Scribe is an actual Chrome extension that you can use that plugs in. And when you're going to, you know, if you're going through Etsy and listing a product, you can actually have Scribe start tracking your information, what you're doing. And then you hit done and it will take you, and it basically documents click and it knows where you're clicking, click, create a listing, click into this field, type, you know, whatever. So, and then you can edit it but it's a great way to kind of get a head start on like actually documenting and screenshotting, because you can edit, you can add screenshots, and you can export it as a PDF. So check that out as well. We'll put that.
What's the address for that?
Yeah.
The web address?
Yeah, it's get.scribehow.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I have that.
Yeah, so we'll add that in the show notes. I've used it a handful of times, but it's awesome. And you can also add voiceovers. You can also add video, you know, in the post-editing process, for lack of a better term. But it's a great tool to kind of help get a head start on that SOP process. So, yeah. Let's talk about, like, when you're hiring, like, how do you pick the candidate? Odds are you're going to get a lot of applicants, a lot of people to choose from. But how do you narrow that down? What's the best way to find the one that would work best for what you're looking for? And Travis, in the past, I know you and I have both done this approach where you create 2 to 3 sample tasks for all the applicants to complete. So you kind of give them a test project or design or listing or whatever that looks like to kind of start vetting that process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once you've decided, I mean, we'll talk about like where you can list your job up, your application or your request for work and all that, your job postings in next. But once you've, you know, posted that and you've gotten some responses, you know, depending on which platform you pick, you may have 25 to 35 to 50 applicants. Yeah. And so you need to narrow those down. But once you do, once you narrow them down to like, oh, I've seen, we'll talk about tips for like narrowing them down just automatically. But once you've decided you've seen their work and you like what they've done, you know, if it's a graphics guy or you just, you know, you like the way they communicated to you, if it's an admin or whatever, you got to, you know, you create these 2 or 3 sample tasks. It could be graphics. It could be, you know, go to Etsy and find some awesome listings and explain to me why they're great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for an admin or something like that. You need to write down your expected outcome of that task. So that's what I did. You know, I want you to go to Etsy. I want you to find 3 listings and I want you to paste the link and then explain why these listings are good and what you would do to improve them. And that's your, that's sample task 1, you know, and maybe that's all you need, you know, and you give that to 5 to 10 candidates. And then you explain, I want this done in a certain time expectation. I want it done in a certain quality expectation. So I need this. I want this back to me in 3 days. And I want this in a Google Doc or in a Word doc or, you know, or I want it formatted like this. And so you're testing them not only on the execution of the basic task, but the presentation of the information to you.
Right.
So it's kind of, you're getting a lot more data that way.
Yep. And also make sure this is something that you actually need and you can pay them. You should pay them for the task.
Yes. Pay them for the task.
So you pay for their time and something that you can actually use, you know, if it's a creative, VA you're hiring, if there's a design you need made, give that to them as a task, but then pay them for it. So they can get used to that process as well. So there's a couple of different platforms you can list on when it comes to looking for VAs. There's onlinejobs.ph. We've talked about a lot. That's kind of like a hiring site for Filipino virtual assistants, which is both Travis and I had really good success finding candidates there, which is awesome. Yep. There's Fiverr.com and Upwork.com, which are primarily stateside VAs. There's probably some folks that aren't.
No, they're not. There's tons of there. Both of those websites are worldwide.
Everywhere.
You'll find you'll find people from all over the world, and you can filter by a specific demographic or you know, area of the world if you want.
Yeah. So then you can hire in an agency, which is like freeup.com. So kind of explain what that is, Travis, when it comes to a hiring agency when looking for a VA.
Yeah, there's plenty of agencies out there that will basically vet the VA for you. You say, this is what I want my virtual assistant to do for me, and I want to hire them for this many hours, and here's my budget, and they'll go out and they'll vet the virtual assistants for you and bring you back like 3 candidates to actually interview and say, yep, I want this one. And then you're going to pay the agency And then they're going to pay the virtual assistant. So this is, you're going to pay more with an agency because they're going to do more work for you. But it can be a way if it's, you know, if it's just something you just want to get done and you don't really want to have all the headaches of going back and forth with 5 to 10 or, you know, or doing the whole project based interview process, this could be a good solution for you. I do want to mention that of all of the, you know, so Fiverr and Upwork are obviously going, or they're marketplaces for virtual assistants. So virtual assistants will come and say, hey, I can do all of these things. Sure. You are basically finding them on Fiverr, and then Fiverr is taking a cut. So I think it's like a 20% cut. And I believe it's the same on Upwork. So Upwork has the ability to have ongoing tasks that you can pay a VA for as you, and you can even create milestones. The thing is that every time you pay them, Fiverr or Upwork is going to take 20% of that. So if you agree on, you know, $5 an hour, the VA is only going to get $4 an hour. And so you just need to know that. On onlinejobs.ph, they make their money through subscriptions. So you have to pay 50 or 60 bucks per month that you're on the platform, but they don't, you can cancel at any time. So if you pay for a month for 60 bucks or whatever it is, you can cancel it, you know, on day 30 and not pay another 60 bucks. And hopefully you've had 30 days to like interview and do all these things. And so, but then once you've canceled it, that virtual assistant is completely, so you can pay them $5 and they'll get $5. And you can, you know, you can pay them through PayPal or Payoneer or however you want to do that. As long as they can, you know, receive the money. In some countries, it can be a little wonky using PayPal, but in the Philippines, that's how I pay all my VAs, and they get the full amount. I don't pay a middleman for that. So that's what you're looking at when you're looking at an agency, or you're looking at one of these sites that kind of plays the middleman when it comes to hiring VAs, where Online Jobs just has a different model. And so I prefer that because I can then pay them. I pay my VAs on the 15th and the 16th and the 1st of every month is when their payday is. And so I make two transactions in PayPal a month for each one of them. And that's how we do it. I did want to say, one of the virtual assistants that I hired on, onlinejobs.ph, she's worked with me, I think for 5 or 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And, she just told me the other day that, she's kind of found a guy and they're talking about marriage and all of this stuff. Wow. And she was like, I want to invite you to the wedding, you know, and I want to invite you and Miss Jeanette, you know, cause she calls me Mr. Travis, you know, and I want to invite you guys. And it's like, and she sent me pictures of them, you know, and I sent them to my wife, and like, she's, we've never met them, or we never met her. We never met any of our VAs. And, I swear she's like a daughter to me, really, you know, she's such a sweet, sweet soul. And, these people are amazing, you know, and I'm blessed, not only in my business, but just personally having a relationship with some of these incredible people. And, I just wanted to throw that in, cause I thought I literally had a meeting with her this morning, and she was giving me the next update, you know, like the continuing saga of what's going on in their relationship. And I love that.
That's awesome. So you going, go to the wedding and make the trek,
man? I would love to. And if that, I've talked to her about going over there, you know, a million times, but, she's about an hour, outside of Manila. So it would be a super fun trip. If we could swing it, man.
Yeah.
That would Jeanette, be awesome. If you're listening, which I know you're not, let's go to the Philippines.
Yeah. Let's, if you shout loud, is she home? If you just said it loud enough, she might hear you. So some other tips when posting a job, you can insert a random word there that they would need to include in the reply. And what this does is it just kind of limits the number of spam applications. People who are just either bots or people who just aren't paying attention. Cause if they don't insert that random word, they might not be good with details. So overall, that might still be a good thing to do to see if they're attentive, if they read through, if they are paying attention to the instructions. So
yeah, put it towards the bottom, you know, or towards the middle bottom part of your thing. And by the way, when you reply, write the word banana in the email subject line, the subject line, however, or something like that.
Yep. So from there, again, select 2 to 3 applicants, assign them a task, wait. And once the job comes back, like Travis was saying, you can evaluate based on timeliness and accuracy, or two things that you can kind of use to kind of gauge who would be the best for the position you're hiring for.
Yeah, we did this. There was a time when we had 4 designers, virtual assistant designers on staff. And I mean, we had like 12 virtual assistants, but 4 of them specifically were designers. And I went through this process multiple times to come up with the designers that we ended up with. And it took me, I mean, I still was able to do it all in a month, but I did 2, you know, main job posts, and then I would get 25 to 30 applicants and I'd sort through them and I'd pick and I'd assign them jobs. And then I'd post a second one and get more in and go through them. And I assigned. And so I had probably 10 different people that I actually paid for designs. I think I paid at the time, I think I paid $5 per design, just so it would make sense for them to use their time. And then I used those designs, even the ones I didn't hire. I still used them in my Merch by Amazon account, you know, because I think that's what I was hiring for originally. And then, you know, I found some pretty freaking incredible designers at the end of the day. And so some are still, I mean, I could reach out and say, hey, I need you to design this for me. And he would do it. And you know who that is.
Yep. I sure do.
He's really
good. Exactly who you're talking about. He's phenomenal. A couple other tips for hiring. You can do Skype calls or Google Meet or Zoom or whatever that looks like. It can be beneficial, but it can also isolate the VA a little bit. Some of them might not like to be on video. What's your experience with that, Travis, in terms of like your success? People like to, have you had a lot of video calls with your VAs? How have they felt about that? Like, how does that work in the hiring process for you?
It used to not be as important as it is now. I tend to want to have when I first had VAs, I really didn't know that they would be so, or that we would have an actual relationship. I know that sounds horrible, but it just was not in my grid to, it's like, no, you work for me and that's how it works. And, you know, you just do your job. Yeah. And the more I've had VAs and like interacted with them, I now have a biweekly call one-on-one with, my VAs. And then I have a all hands call the opposite week. So every week I'm talking to them and we have, you know, a Teams thing where we're talking all the time and, you know, just throwing videos back, you know, hey, this is, check this out. I just found this. Can you mess with this? Or, and then, you know, hey, here's my fiance, you know, picture, you know, I mean, I took a picture of snow in my backyard because we had that huge snowstorm the other week and showed it to them. And they're like, oh, maybe someday I'll get to see snow because they have never seen snow.
They have no grid for it.
Anyway, so all of that to say, now when I do interview a new VA, which I haven't done in a while, I'm definitely going to do, it may not be a video call, but it's at least going to be like an audio call where we're on the phone, we're talking, and I can ask specific questions and get a feel for the person. Because I want this to be a long-term relationship. I don't want to hire somebody and then have to let them go
for
whatever reason in like 30 days or 90 days or whatever. So it's important to me, but it's, you know, it's your call. You can do it or you don't have to do it, but I just prefer to do it now.
Right. So the other thing, you can confirm the pay is acceptable. So maybe do offer letters when you're hiring, just to make sure, again, that's the whole expectations are laid out. Everyone knows what to expect in terms of, you know, compensation and timeliness deadlines. That's another way you can kind of spell that out and have them sign it. So everyone's agreeing on what's happening moving forward. Again, this is another tip just in general, but don't prioritize price over quality. You're going to want to pay for the better work every time.
Yep.
that's going to be paramount, because the better work, well, it, whether it's an admin, it's going to help you be more efficient and help you work on other projects. If it's a design VA or creative VA, the better work obviously is going to get you a return, because if the design is good, it's going to sell well. If the mock-ups are good, like always, it's a massive investment in the success of your print-on-demand business to always prioritize the better work.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, an extra 50 cents, an extra dollar, an extra $2, you know, it's not, you know, the difference between a, you know, an $18 an hour US employee and a $25 an hour, you know, it's the difference between a, you know, a $5 per hour person and a $6 per hour person, you know, maybe. Right. So it's not going to break the bank necessarily, but I agree. Pay for the better work. The other thing a tip that if you're not aware of, if the VAs are in the Philippines, in the Philippines, they have the 13-month pay. And what this is, and I just did it, December, you basically are paying for an extra month of work. And it's a cultural practice in the Philippines. Yeah. And so if they're working for a Filipino agency or a Filipino company, they are going to get 13-month pay. And some of them, it's kind of like a bonus, but I mean, some of them really depend on that. And so to, again, you know, treat them like you would want to be treated, and you need to understand their cultural expectations. And so it's just a good thing to do. So if they are in the Philippines, I would highly recommend doing that 13-month pay. You're going to get way more happy VAs and loyal VAs if you treat them like that, and you understand their culture and you understand kind of how they, just how things are in the Philippines.
Yeah. And then the last thing is just make sure you have like a Slack or Teams or just an instant chat capability to communicate with them. I've used Slack, I've used Google Chat, lots of different ways you can have communication, but you just want to make sure that that's available and that they're signed up, and that you have access. You guys can communicate back and forth instantly, or at least have that ability, so that you're not waiting for them to respond to an email, or you just can reach out to them immediately and get an answer as soon as they see it. So that's another huge piece to make sure you have implemented. So Travis, let's go over some of the pitfalls here. Start from the top. What are some of the pitfalls on the top of your head that you would encounter or that people need to look out for when it comes to hiring VAs, working with VAs, employing them? What's there to look out for?
I mean, there's a lot. I think we probably even hit on some of them during this podcast, but I think the number one thing is not being prepared when you're going into it and expecting them to just figure it out. You know, hey, I'm hiring a designer, so I just want you to design really good designs. Right. You know, that's not enough. That's not enough information for them to get the output that you're designing, because you have an expectation. You have some sort of expectation. And the key here is to write that expectation down, communicate that expectation with your virtual assistant and all of the expectations that you have, because you do have them. And if you just kind of go into this willy-nilly, it's not going to be good, and you're going to be frustrated, and then you're going to have a bad experience. You're going to be like, VAs aren't worth it. I don't know what Travis and Josiah were talking about. it's not a good thing. So make sure that you're not just expecting them to figure it out, you know? And one of the key ways to avoid that is to make sure that you understand what you are handing them before handing it to them. And that I'm not saying like you have to know how to draw before, you know, or do an illustration on the computer before you hand it off. What I'm saying is you need to know the process of what that looks like before you hand it off to them. Cause they're going to be like, I'm done with the thing. What do you want me to do with it? You're like, I don't know. Upload it to, or, you know, send it here, give it to me. And then they send it to you in Skype and, you know, the quality's less and you're like, well, he didn't give me the right thing. And have the systems in place before you hand it off, because that's, I mean, you're going to need to have that system in place so you can document it anyway for your SOP or video it or however you're going to do that. You know, yeah, there's a lot of pitfalls.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of them too, that I've experienced specifically is not communicating regularly. Just making sure that you're in constant contact with them. And then also, you know, I would always do this with that VA that we were referencing. That is incredible. I would always be sure to tell him like, dude, this is stellar work. This is awesome. I'm so thankful. When I send him a task, like, again, so thankful for you. You're a rock star. You know, just really making sure that they know that I appreciate what he's doing and that without him, that he's an integral part of the system. He's not just a VA. He is considered, you know, part of the family, part of the team. He's our go-to guy. And really just reinforcing that and doing that through regular communication as well. And just saying, hey, just want to check in on you, make sure everything's okay. Hey, I haven't heard from you. Hey, hope you're doing well or whatever. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. Just tracking those things, but then also checking in on them on that related task. Like, how are things going? Do you have any questions? Just you want to have an open door communication policy, especially with those, the VAs that aren't in country, and just making sure that they're good and they'll value that communication from you on their end as well.
Yeah. And then I think one more that you could potentially find yourself in if you're like a really nice person and, you know, or you're just a, it's hard for you to do, you know, have confrontation. What'll happen is if you, you know, you hire somebody and it's not going quite the way, you know, you thought it was, you end up taking the work back because you don't want to like, you don't want to say, well, this wasn't good enough. Or, you know, if it's especially in a, like an admin VA scenario, man, they put together these mock-ups and they're just not great. I guess I'll just do it myself. Well, that completely destroys the whole reason you have the virtual assistant in the first place, because you're trying to set yourself, get your time set free so you can do other things and not have to do what they're doing. So you're paying for double work. It doesn't make any sense. So make sure that you're okay. That you've set the expectations clear enough and you can revisit those expectations. Know, you can say, hey, I'm also asking that you do this as well as what I'd already communicated to you. I'm going to add this to the SOP because I need this done too. And that's totally fine. You can do that. And you should look at your SOPs and make sure that they're serving you and that you're not serving the SOP. So yeah, don't take back the work that you give them. Keep working with them until they get the output that you want.
Correct. Yep. And then it's, you know, also goes to, because if you do that, then you kind of cut the legs out from under them. They don't feel empowered as they grow, as they continue to perform the task. You want them to feel empowered to just take it and run. And the beginning of that phase, the beginning of that process might be some refining, might be some, you know, critiques or feedback to give them so that, like Travis said, they get that desired output so that they can feel confident to know I've spent time talking with, you know, Josiah or Travis, and I know what they're looking for because we've gone over this multiple times. So I'm good. I feel confident that I can make this decision. I can reach out to these, you know, people or create this listing. So just be sure that that's something that you're doing so that A, they feel empowered, and B, you aren't taking back the thing that you wanted to get rid of so you can focus on other projects. So, I mean, in summary, VAs are amazing and they can transform your business, how efficient you are, your output, and get your time back to work on other things. Yeah. But remember, they're people too. I think to your point, you're just like, it's a VA. They're not here. They're not in office. They're just working for me. Yeah. They're just a person that's doing some things I ask. But you'll, to your point, Travis, you'll create some awesome relationships and get invited to a wedding in the Philippines, you know, or something to like, where you're just, you know, you're forging these relationships with people. And listen, VAs, especially overseas in the Philippines, is such a sought after position because people just want to work from home. And though the pay rate for on our side of the conversion is very affordable, to them it's a good amount of money and can be a life-changing occupation. And so the gratitude that they have for working for you and for having the position should be returned in your gratitude for the work that they do and who they are as individuals and investing in them as people yeah. as well. So it can be a massive win-win on all kinds of levels, business, interpersonal, relational. It can just be a slam dunk across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in closing, I'll just say, you know, don't be afraid to try this, you know, and you yeah. don't have to go through onlinejobs.ph and, you know, and do it all yourself. You could just, you know, just go to Upwork and give it a try. Yeah. They make it pretty easy. Like if you're doing it through, through onlinejobs.ph, you know, you're going to have to yeah. create there's just a little bit more to it, but like, give it a try. Do a 10-hour a week, you know, virtual assistant and, you know, to help you organize something or do something in your business, make designs, make listings, make mockups, whatever yeah. it is. You know, you can give them access to your logins. You can use, this is kind of a bonus tip, but you can use a software like LastPass that you can share your login information without actually sharing the password. And so right. they go to the thing and it automatically enters it for them. And so, if they don't work out, you know, it's, you have to let them go or they quit or whatever, they ghost yeah. you. You can literally click one button and take away all of their access yeah. for all of
as opposed to changing your passwords for 12 different yes. websites. You can revoke access with a click of a button, which will make your life so much easier. But yeah, LastPass is awesome. So
yeah, just try it. See if it works yeah. for you. I mean, if you're at the place that you have an actual task that you're like, man, I wish I had somebody to help me blank. Look into this, like actually give it a try and then yep. let us know how it goes. We'd love to, you know, hear your story. Like yeah. you heard mine about being invited to the wedding. Where are you getting invited to?
Yeah. Where have I been invited to? Let us know if you get invited to places from your VAs. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I think that wraps up this week's main event. Let us know your thoughts, your feedback. What's your experience with VAs? Are you hesitant? Let us know. Interact with us. We want to hear from you guys so we can help you as well. If you're in that kind of on the fence stage, even after this episode, if you're like, yeah, it sounds good, but I still have questions, let us know. Reach out to us. And as always, you can find the podcast at printondemandcast.com. And when you are there, you can sign up for the weekly newsletter, or you can go to printondemandcast.com/VIP. And we will have more information each week, a bonus dad joke. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to inundate your inboxes, but this really is just an additional supplemental piece to each week's show that might include more information about a topic, or it might include something that we haven't talked about yet that could be on an upcoming show. And you'll also get, as kind of, I guess, a trade for your email, the annual design calendar that can help you kind of keep track of what's coming up. And if you're using a VA, you can let them utilize this tool as well to know U.S. holiday-wise, if they are out of the country, what to be, you know, expecting, what to be designing for, and help you guys get on the same page in terms of that process as well. So again, printondemandcast.com/VIP is where you can go to do that and avail yourself of that bonus information. Travis, anything else before we wrap this one up and send it home?
We just made it in under an hour, so let's wrap yeah. this up and give it a bow.
All right. Well, for Travis, I'm Josiah. We'll see you next time right here on the Print on Demand Cast.
See ya.
Hey babe, thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand Cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular Show. If you got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Wanna be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print On Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.